Good morning. If you want to open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. We will read a few verses there in just a few moments. And as you're turning there, I'd like to just say welcome, like a few have already done before me. We do have quite a few visitors, and also our own members. We're thankful that you could be here as well. And I thought I'd just say a real quick word, because I don't think it's a coincidence that twice within the past week I've heard something about this congregation. I was getting my car worked on before Brooke and I went out of town, and I won't say you where or who it is, but he has family here. And I was talking to him while my car was being worked on, and he said something that, you know, we just started talking about some church things and some churches in the area and VBS coming up, and he said, I don't know what y'all are doing at Marion Street, he said, but from an outsider's perspective, things look to be going really well over there. And I just thought y'all might like to hear that, because here's someone that lives in our community that knows this congregation, but also has an outsider's perspective and sees the good things that we have going on. And then when Brooke and I were in Tampa, Wednesday night I worshipped at Temple Terrace, Church of Christ there, and I led the opening prayer, and so Don announced that I was preaching here at Marion Street. Don Truex did, and afterwards I had some people come up to me and said, Marion Street, I hear some great things are going on up there. And some people knew of the congregation, and some people, they just heard Marion Street and heard the name before, and they wanted to come up and say, you know, we hear things are going really well. And so in a matter of a week, I had someone here in town and people from out of town that have nothing to do with this area say that they've heard about our congregation and the great things we're doing. And I thought y'all might like to hear that, but it reminds me of when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians when he says, your faith and your love is not only being shown in Macedonia and Achaia, which is where they were, but beyond that. And it's a good thing to have an example and for people to see our faith and love, not so they can look at us, but I just wanted to let you all know that's encouraging, to know that the community and even beyond our community are seeing our example and our faith and our love. And I think we just need to keep up the good work. And you all should be proud of yourselves, every member here, because everyone is part of the work going on here. So I just thought I'd share that with you before we begin this morning. Well, this morning we're going to continue our series in Rise and Build. It is the first Sunday of the month. And as we've been doing the first Sunday of every month this year, we preach on the theme of Rise and Build. This morning, we're going to preach on the theme of Rise and Build, building up our family. And we're going to look at a few different aspects of family today. And what I don't want you to do is just to assume that if you don't have kids, this doesn't apply to you. If you're not a parent, this doesn't apply to you. If your kids are out of the house, this doesn't apply to you. Or because there are so many different levels of life that we are all on here in this room. But these things can all apply to every single one of us, because you may be married and wanting kids, and these could apply to you in the future. You might not be married yet, but you might be married someday, and you want to know how to parent your kids or what to do with your kids. And I'll be very honest up front, I don't have all the answers. I have a 2.5-year-old and one on the way, and if I were to write a book today, I would be completely wrong on probably everything on almost every page, because Brooke and I are learning as we go, and that's kind of what you do as parents. But I do think there's some scriptural things that I could give you this morning, and some principles I think that we'll look at this morning that will help in this idea of building our family, whether it's the mother-father relationship, whether it's the parent-child relationship, and really, I'll have something to say to the I'm going to say children, but I don't mean, you know, young children, but maybe this group up here and those of you who are sitting out who have a responsibility to your parents. And so I think there's some things that as we talk about building our families, will apply to all of us no matter where we are in our stage. Even grandparents, you can help still teach your kids and your grandkids. So this will apply to many of us. But it was a wife's birthday, and her husband had asked her what she wanted him. She said, I want to be 8 again. So he planned out a whole day for her husband, or for his wife to be 8 again. He took her to an amusement park. They rode all the rides. They went miniature golfing, and he took her to a movie theater. He got a big bag of popcorn. They got a slushie. He had a little tea party set up with all of, you know, her old stuffed animals. Just wanted to make her feel like 8 years old all over again. And after a full day of activities, they got back and they were sitting on the couch and they're just kind of relaxing from a full fun day. And he says, well, how did it feel to be eight again? The husband asked. And the wife looked at him kind of funny and said, you know, what I really meant was I wanted to be a size eight again. Maybe an A for effort on that one. But, you know, remembering things is fun. And we like to go down memory lane. And we like to look back on our youth. We like to retell stories of when we were young or the sports games we played in or the achievements that we've had. This past week, I told Brooke I loved Tampa while I was there. I was there for 4.5 years. I would never want to probably live there, but it's great to go back and just reminisce on my time in college, the friends we had, and the people we knew. And we love doing that. And our memories are a fascinating thing. And our memory is like, I've heard it once said, is like a treasure chest filled with precious moments from the past. And we often remember those events or those people which had the greatest impact on our lives, whether for the positive or the negative. We remember teachers that we loved, and we also remember the teachers that we maybe don't love. We remember the coaches that sparked our enthusiasm for a certain sport or a certain road to take in life. The first time we did something or went somewhere, we remember those memories. We remember the important things that make us who we are today. Well, the writer of Ecclesiastes wanted us to remember something. And he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, if you had your Bibles open there, he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low, also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. The spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. You know, a lot of people, we love chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, for the difficult days draw near and we find no pleasure in them. We love that verse, but we skip over the rest of what it just said, and we skip down to verse 6 again. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth, or before, in this case, the silver cord is loosed. You know, this section of text, we'll go back to the beginning in just a little bit, it tells us something to remember twice. But then it goes on to list why we need to remember our Creator. We remember our Creator before the difficult days come. Then he goes on, and all that language in there that a lot of people skip over is describing old age. He talks about the windows closing, that our eyesight. He talks about the grinders falling apart, your teeth. He talks about your hair getting white. He talks about strong men bowing down. You know how sometimes older people will start kind of hunching over because their body is just slowly breaking down. And he goes through all these things. And then he says, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed. He says, because what's going to happen is your body is going to return to dust. Your spirit will go back up and will return to God who gave it, he says in verse 7. And he says in verse 8, vanity of vanities. Everything is vanity, which means this life eventually will just be nothing. And so we need to keep in context why he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because there is coming a day, it doesn't matter if it's now, it doesn't matter if it's 80 years from now or 1,000 years from now, whenever it will be, there is coming a day when this world will end. God will reign over the realm just like he's doing now, but it will be a new heaven and a new earth, and you and I will have passed away and be gone. So he reminds us twice to remember now our Creator. Who is our Creator? If we are to remember our Creator, we can't remember God without first knowing who He is. And so real quickly, I just want to look at just a few brief things that I think we can see here in these verses to see exactly who our Creator is. The Ecclesiastes writer writes in such vivid imagery where he says, we have to remember that as our Creator, we read in Genesis verse 1 that He created the heavens and the earth, but He created us. He created the very people we are, and he starts describing all the things that break down because, well, that's just what happens with old age. But think of the body for a minute and what God created. And think of, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he talks about the wind cycle and the water cycle. He talks about this great earth that God created. He created everything that we have here. And he wants us to remember exactly who our Creator is. Our Creator is the giver of all good things. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he would write about how he tried to find happiness in this world. And he would try to find happiness in building himself buildings. And he would try to find happiness in male servants and female servants and having all these different kinds of animals and building himself pools and all these wonderful things. And he says it was all just vanity. It was God that gave him the good things, is what he's reminding us of. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We need to remember that He is our refuge and our strength. And I think it's interesting, he notes here that our bodies will just become dust in verse 7, remember, and they'll return to dust. But our spirit will get to go be with God. Because that's our ultimate goal. That's where we want to be. We want to be with God. That's our refuge. He's our strength. That even though we are old and falling apart in the verses we just read, we still get to go be with God. Because that's where we draw our strength from. Psalm 46 verses 1 through 3 say that God is our mighty fortress. And also we need to understand that He's our everlasting Father. He is the great I Am. Look at what Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 says. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. That is, he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He always was, always will be. That is our God. He is the God of the past, present, and the future. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think if we're going to remember who God is in our youth, and we'll talk about what that means in a minute, we first need to understand these things of who God really is. And the God we serve, the God we're serving here this morning, is the Creator of everything. He is the giver of all the good things we have in life. He is and should be our refuge and our strength in times of trouble. And He is our everlasting Father. But the question is, here in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. I think that these things, and this is why I kind of sped through these things, you're probably, I don't want to assume this for everybody, but you're probably here this morning because you understand these principles of the Bible. You understand these principles of who God is and what He does. But why does he say in the book of Ecclesiastes, why does the writer say that we need to remember now, in the days of our youth, who our Creator is? He says, difficult days are coming. The hard times are coming. You know, oftentimes we look at, and I'm just going to be real honest, and I don't mean to offend anybody, and I don't think this will, but just in case, I want to disclaim that at the very beginning. When I was young, I would look at the old people, and I would say, man, those are the strong ones. Those are the spiritually strong. And when I'm old, I want to be like that. But here's what I assumed. I assumed that just happens when you're old. Because let's be honest, that we have a good group of young people. And when I was their age, I was looking up at the older members of the congregation saying, look at how spiritually strong they are. And that's just because they're old. I didn't think about the work that they had to put in. I didn't think about the lives they led. I just see them in the pew at church, and they're old, and they're spiritually strong. So I will be old one day, and I'll be spiritually strong one day. Because that's just what happens. But that's not just what happens. It's not just you become old one day, and so because you're old, you're spiritually strong. In fact, he says you need to be spiritually strong now, in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator now, because guess what? The older people, that older generation, they're in their difficult days. As he explained in those verses we read, their bodies are shutting down. And I'm sure that you can attest to that if you are, consider yourselves old, I'll put that in quotes, that your body is not what it used to be. My body is not what it used to be. And so he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before those difficult days come. So here's a message to the young people. Don't look at the older generation now and say, just expect that to happen when you get older. And don't wait till you're older to say, I'm going to start now working on my spiritual strength. Start now in the days of your youth. Start working towards that spiritual strength now, before those difficult days come, because this is where the fundamental building blocks are laid, now in your youth, when you're young. The decisions you make when you are young, and I'm sure many of you who are in an older generation can attest to this, the decisions you make when you are young, from the habits you form to the friends you make and the people you put yourself around, to the decision to put your faith in the Lord and become spiritually strong and remember your Creator, they will play the biggest role for determining the rest of your life. And I know that young people probably get tired of hearing that the decisions now will shape the rest of their life, but it can't be any truer. That the decisions we make in junior high, in high school, in college, especially that age group, they will affect us for the rest of our lives. Do you know how many people are probably sitting in prison right now because they made one stupid choice and junior high, high school, or college, and now the rest of their life is ruined from one decision? You ever thought about what would have happened if they just remembered first their Creator in the days of their youth? Do you know how many people are in their older generation now paying off the, and I don't mean debts in a money sense, but paying off the debts of life that started way back in high school, college, or the early years of adulthood? Because they didn't first remember their Creator. Because the decisions we make will follow us the rest of our lives. You know, there's a proverb, and I want to make this very clear. It's just a proverb that you could do everything right as a parent, and you could teach your kids the way of the Lord and have them remember their Creator in the days of your youth, and it doesn't always equal them following the Lord. So this is just a proverb. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We quote that all the times, and I think a lot of times we put the focus too much on the young people in this verse. See, I taught you, so you need to do what you need to do, or do what you're supposed to do. You understand better. And we say things like that to our young people. But to me, this passage is not just for the young people. This puts an emphasis, I think a greater emphasis, on a whole different group of people, and that's the parents, or the ones who are actually teaching our young people. You know, we train our kids for so many different things. Are you doing your part, parents, to train our children in the way that they should go, in the way of the Lord? I spent years of my life training for different kinds of sports. I mean, I spent hours on a soccer field. I spent hours on the football field. I spent hours practicing and being on the hockey rink. I mean, I spent hours learning how to play the trumpet in junior high and elementary school. I spent hours trying to learn how to drive a car and learn how to, pass my test and get my permit and then finally get behind a wheel. We spend hours learning the things of our job. You know, we might get a booklet to bring home and study so that we can do our job. I spent hours on things in this life, but how much time have we spent training in the Bible? And parents, how much emphasis are we putting on things like sports and band and school and getting good grades, which are all great things, which I think everyone has their thing and they give it their all, and that's great. My dad always told me, choose your thing and give it 100%. I don't care what it is. Just give it 100%. I think that's great. But if we're letting those worldly things take over the training and the way that our children should go, we have lost focus on what it really means to remember our Creator. And I think the sad thing we're seeing in our society today is more parents are putting more and more emphasis on school and extracurricular activities that we're totally forgetting about the principles that God wants us to understand and live by. And we tell ourselves it starts with maybe missing one service for a game. And that's, you know, might be okay every now and then. But have you ever heard the story, if you give a mouse a cookie? If you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to want a cup of milk. If you give him a cup of milk, he's going to need a napkin to wipe his face. If you give him a napkin, he's going to need this. And then he's going to need this. And sometimes that's just how we get started in forgetting about the Lord. Starts maybe with one game. Starts maybe with just missing one service. And then, well, we missed one. Why not just do another? Or why not two a week or two a month? And then it just goes from there. And before too long, we are putting more emphasis on the worldly things and less on the spiritual. So I want you to ask yourself as parents, are you studying with your kids? Are you talking to them about their Bible classes, what they talked about, what they learned, what songs they sang? Are you singing with them? Are you praying with them maybe before bed or before meals or before they go to school? Are you reminding them before they go to school that they are to be godly people, that they are to follow the Lord first and not their friends? Are we setting as parents the godly principles in our house that we expect our parent or our children to have? Are we showing them the right example? Have you ever heard monkey see, monkey do? Landon right now is in the repeating stage of everything. Brooke and I have to be very careful with what we say in front of Landon. And it's not like Brooke and I are going around the house cussing or anything, but we still have to be very careful with what we say around Landon, because if we say it, boy, it's like a parrot in the backseat of the car just saying it right back to you. And it's like, well, boy, we better just watch our tongue. But although kids grow up, they might not repeat what you say directly back to you. Guess what? They store it in their memories. They keep it in there. If you come home from services saying, boy, that preacher was horrible today, well, guess what your kids are going to think? We got a bad preacher. If you go home from services saying, those Bible class programs, they are trash. I'm so upset with the Bible class programs. Well, guess what the kids are going to start thinking? They're going to come home saying, well, I don't want to go to Bible class if my parents think it's trash. And then we wonder why our kids fall away from the faith. Because it starts with the parents and us. Of helping our kids remember and study with them and showing them the example that they need to see. You know, this theme is all throughout scriptures. In Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12, it says, teach us that we may gain wisdom. In another, or in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, as his apostles as Jesus is praying, his apostles look at him and say, Lord, teach us to pray like this. Sometimes I think we assume the apostles just automatically knew everything, but they had to be taught how to pray. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, he says there that we need to add to your faith, which means we have faith, but there's things that we need to be taught. There's things that we need to add to our faith. And he says virtue and knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, kindness. Those are all things that we need to learn and be taught. And are we doing that for our children? It's the responsibility of the parents to teach these things. And it's when they are young that our kids will learn what is right and what is wrong. It's when they're young that they learn to smoke, lie, cheat, and steal. And it's when they are young that they will learn to have faith, hope, and love in Jesus Christ. And so, what influence are we having as parents or as grandparents on the children? But also, this puts the responsibility on the kids. And so let me speak to the young people here for just a moment. You know, there's only so much training that your parents can do before it's up to you. And I know I've told you this when I had you in class. If you sat downstairs in the high school class with me, there is going to come a time where mom and dad are not going to come wake you up on a Sunday morning and drive you to church. I learned that. I don't know if it was easy or hard. It was easy to sleep in. Might have been a hard lesson to learn, but I learned that when I went to college. My alarm went off, and guess what? Dad didn't come in the room and tell me to get up and get ready for church. I had to make that decision on my own. And someday you will too. And so, young people, I want you to think, am I doing my part to respect what my parents are doing for me? I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Book of Ephesians chapter 6. Read with me verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You know, we go to verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I think most of the children and the young adults and the teens here would understand that you need to obey your parents. But will it hurt you to hear this? And it may, and I'm about ready to shock you. And this may hurt very deep. But young people, your parents are most likely right in what they tell you. Did you notice what else he said here? He said, this is the first commandment with a promise. That if you obey them, look at what happens. And I want especially young people to listen to this. When you honor your father and mother, when you obey and respect your father and mother, when you listen to your father and mother and what they tell you to do, and I might add fathers and mothers, that's if we're telling them what to do, godly things. You know, not all father and mothers are spiritual, but that's another lesson for another time maybe. In verse 3, if we honor our father and mother, it says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You ever thought about that? That's the promise God gave. When you honor your father and mother, they know what they're talking about. They're trying to help you in this life. I remember, I was a teen not that long ago. I remember what it was like when my dad told me no, I couldn't go with these certain friends or I couldn't go to this certain place. And at the time, I couldn't have been more mad at my parents because they were not letting me have any fun. They didn't understand what it was like to be young. They didn't know what it was like to have to tell my friends no. I wouldn't be popular at school if I couldn't go here or do this. They would all look at me funny. They would treat me funny. Whatever the situation was, my dad said, I don't care. Get over it. Looking back on it, I couldn't be more thankful that my parents made the decisions they made and where I could and could not go or who I could and could not hang out with. The parents are putting godly principles in place and you honor them, verse 3 says, you will have a good life on this earth. If you have a parent with you this morning, or you're still living at home, or maybe your parent isn't the godly influence in your life, but the person who did put God and Christ in your life, I want you to listen closely. Parents do the things they do because they love you. They do the things they do because they want to first and foremost obey God, and then secondly, they want you to obey God as well, and they want what's best for you. And it's important to lay these fundamental building blocks because they not only help the kids, but they help both the kids and the parents remember who our God really is. That these fundamental building blocks are what get us ready for the rest of our lives. You think about in school when you have classes. I remember sitting in Algebra 1 thinking, that is the worst class in the history of classes. When am I ever going to use Algebra 1? Well, guess what? I got to Algebra 2. Guess what I needed before Algebra 2? Boy, I'm glad I paid attention in Algebra 1. And we kind of think like that in school. When am I ever going to use this history? When am I ever going to use this class? When am I ever going to use this information? There'll come a time. And sometimes we think like that spiritually. When am I ever going to use these things? When am I ever going to need to know the story of Abraham? When am I ever going to need to know the story of Joseph? Why do I need to know all these things that God put in this book? But let me just tell you, there will be a time. And so listen now in the days of your youth, because these decisions and these principles will go with you for the rest of your life. And we need to think, we need to remember, temptations when we're young, when he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, I'm a firm believer that temptations are at their prime at this time in life. Not saying that older generations don't have temptations, but I think in the middle school, high school, college age, that area, new things are popping up on a daily basis for our young people. Like drinking and sexual impurity and modesty and gossip, slander. All these things are alive and booming during these crucial years in a young person's life. And I think sometimes we might forget what it's like to be their age. We might forget what it's like to be in junior high and high school and in college. Now, some of us are closer to that time period, but times change. And I think sometimes we forget what it's like to be bombarded by the temptations that are in this world. But we still need to push past those temptations and help our kids see that putting God first in all of their decisions is the most important thing they can do. And young people, putting God first in all your decisions will get you out of more trouble than you could care to think of. You know, it's not wrong to be tempted. It's not wrong to have temptations in your life. In fact, that's just part of life. We have temptations. What's wrong is when we give in to the temptations. And 9 times out of 10, we give in to the temptations because we haven't first remembered the principles God has put in place. And when we can remember first our Creator and the things He wants us to do, then maybe we can make the right decision in face of temptations. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. James chapter 4 tells us, draw near to God, He will draw near to you. That if we just put God first in our decisions, I think good things can happen. And our choices will be the choices God wants us to make. And lastly, this morning, why remember God at all? Not just in our youth, but why remember God? Because there are things in here that adults, quite frankly, we need to remember God. We might not be so youthful anymore, but we still need to remember God in every day of our lives. What are the benefits here? You know, the first thing it does is it helps us remember who we belong to. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29 says, if we have been baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. That we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are heirs according to the promise. That is, if you and I call ourselves Christians, baptized believers of Jesus Christ, we better act like Christians. Because that's who we belong to. We belong to Christ. We talked about that a little bit last week as well. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 8, it says, for if we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. How many of us can say that? That's how we live every day of our lives. That I wake up saying, today, I live for the Lord. And you know what? If I die today, I die for the Lord. So no matter what, if I live or die, I'm the Lord's. Paul would say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Almost saying the same exact thing here, just in a different way. That no matter what, it's for Christ. We belong to Him, and so we live for Him. We must remember whose name we wear. We put on the name of Christ as Christian, and that is a daily thing that we must do. He made us, and He knows us. He knows what we need. And all He asks of us is that we do our best. That we remember to call Him our God, our Father, and our Maker. That we are made in His image. He is the Creator, our refuge, and our strength. You know, I think it's so interesting. Joseph, who was a young man. Most people believe he was between the ages of 16 and 20, somewhere around there. And so not much older than some of these young people we have here. And when he was being tempted, do you remember when Potiphar's wife was trying to sleep with him? Do you remember what he said? How can I do this against God? Isn't that amazing that as a young man, in the face of temptation, in the moments right before he was able to probably sleep with a woman, most young men nowadays would jump at that opportunity. Let's just be honest. He was able to say, how could I do this against my God? Where do you think his mind was? It was on serving God first. Because that's who he belonged to. We must remember God because when we lose focus on God, we lose perspective on sin. Sin separates us from God. Think about Peter when he was walking on the water in Matthew chapter 14, when he took his eyes off the Lord and focused on all the things around him, the winds and the waves. That's when he began to sink and he lost his focus. And if we let temptation and sin do that to us, if we take our eyes off Jesus and we focus on the temptations of the world, well, that's where our focus will be, on the temptations. And so it's easier to give in to the sin and temptations. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, or look to Jesus. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That this life is a race. We must constantly look forward, keep moving forward, and fixing our eyes on Jesus. We remember God because it helps us in times of crisis. Now, we're not going to read all these psalms, but I want you to maybe write these down and read them on your own time. We just don't have the time this morning to do that. But in Psalm chapter 71, verses 12 through 18, the writer is in distress in the first couple verses, and he doesn't know who to turn to, but he still, in verses 14 through 16, continues to call on God. That in the times of distress, he was able to still call on God, and he knew that God would deliver him. Because he says in verse 17 and 18, because he was taught from his youth, he would say. And he would say in this psalm in verse 17 and 18, that even when he's gray-headed, he is still calling on the name of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That he says he was taught about God from his youth. So when he was in distress, that even now when he's gray-headed, he still knows to call on the name of the Lord. In Psalm 77, verses 1 through 14, again, we won't read it just for lack of time. The psalmist was feeling weary and low because of sin. But it says in verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Which means he had God first in his decisions. You know, I know I already mentioned this. But at the very beginning of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, as that's the most what most people believe who wrote this book, Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes, as he was writing about life, he started to find out life is just always the same. He talks about the water cycle, the wind cycle, generations come and go. You're young now, you'll grow up, you'll be old, you'll die. And guess what? Right behind that generation, there's a next generation that's growing up, and then they'll die. And right behind that generation is another generation that will grow up, and then they'll die. And he noticed this pattern of life just going round and round and round. And he says, where's the happiness in all this? And so in chapter 2, he tried to find the happiness in all these wonderful things, and he still couldn't find the happiness. He said he had everything in the world. He had women. He had servants. He had houses. He had trees. He had crops. He had animals. He had pools. He had done so many things to try to find the happiness in this nothingness of life. He would say in chapter 2, whatever my eyes desired, I took it. Does that not sound like the world we live in today? If I want it, I will have it. He said it was all still just nothing. It was all vanity, vain. There was nothing to it. So this was his conclusion. Since there was nothing to gratify his flesh, since there was nothing that he desired that could fulfill what he needed, after all these things Solomon went through and after all these things he experienced, he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come, the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You skip to the end of the chapter, in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, he says, here's my conclusion on the matter. And if this isn't any clearer, I don't know what is. He says, here's my conclusion on this whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. To me, this is one of the most humbling and sobering passages in the entire Scripture. Solomon is believed to be the most wise person that ever walked on the face of this earth. And if the wisest person that has ever walked on the face of this earth was able to come to the conclusion of the matter, and that is to fear God and keep His commandments because this is man's all, then who am I to say anything different? There is nothing in this life that can gratify or satisfy our flesh like God and keeping His commandments. He even says it, this is man's all. This is what we were meant to do. This is what we are supposed to do. It doesn't matter. It's not something that just happens when you're old. It happens now in the days of our youth. Because God will bring into account every work, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. You know, there's things that we all do in this life that no one knows about. Thoughts we think, maybe words we say to ourselves, maybe things we've done in the past. Those things will come up. You may go to your grave with things. God will bring every work into judgment. To me, that's why this is one of the most sobering and humbling verses in the whole Bible. But on the bright note, on the bright side, He'll bring all the good with it too. There's many of you that do wonderful, wonderful things for people in your life, and you never get the credit. There's some of you who are taking care of sick loved ones. There's some of you that take care of sick people here at this congregation that some of you don't even know about. There's some of you that do things for people on a daily basis that the rest of this congregation has no clue what's going on. Those things will be brought out. Fear God. Keep His commandments. That's man's all. Isn't it interesting? Or wouldn't it be interesting if every Christian lived by this one verse? Doesn't that explain Christianity in a nutshell? Wouldn't it be amazing if young and old alike feared God, kept His commandments? Right now. Don't wait. Don't wait until it's too late. But by remembering God, we can see what our life was without Him. We were just wandering in the darkness. We can see who we are with Him. We are Christians walking in the light. And we can see where we are going. We are going to heaven to be with Him someday. And listen, remembering God doesn't mean that we forgot about God. But remembering Him means keeping His commandments and His ways and apply them in every aspect of our life. I want to end this morning with a story of two friends. There were two friends that grew up in church together. They were really close. They did a lot together. They went to each other's house on Sunday afternoons. They didn't go to school together, but they would always sit next to each other in Bible class, sit next to each other in services, just best friends at church. Well, as they grew up, there was one who just decided to push the boundaries a little. And his parents were great parents, great godly parents. They were at church. They had him at church every week, every service. But he wanted to just push the boundaries just a little bit. And eventually, as he got into high school, his friends, they were not the greatest of friends. And the temptations were there. And his parents would try to talk to him, but he just kind of had no interest. He stopped coming to church. He would come every so often. And eventually, he just didn't come at all. He believed in God. He knew God. He knew what God expected of him. Just didn't really respect God as our God and didn't want to follow His commands. Turns out that he went and got a girl pregnant. Never went to college because he had to take care of the family that he had. Got involved with drugs and alcohol. All because he didn't want to fear God and keep His commandments. He was one of my greatest friends at church. Our lives just went two different directions. And you know what? I had the opportunities to go that direction as well. I had opportunities to do what I wanted to do. I had opportunities to make my own decisions. But you know what? Eventually, it didn't come down to his parents' choice anymore. It came down to what he decided he wanted to do. Everything will be brought into judgment. Doesn't matter how young or how old. Everything will be brought into judgment. And parents, I'm going to give just one more sobering reminder that Brooke and I remind ourselves all the time. We will be judged on how we raise our children. That's a humbling thing for me as a parent. To know that when God gives me the responsibility of a child, my job and responsibility as a parent is to train them in the way that they should go. Now listen, I understand some people do their very best training their children in the way that they should go of the Lord, and it just doesn't work out. Because like I said, eventually at some points, children make their own decisions. But that doesn't mean that we are excused because the church isn't doing their job or the preacher didn't do his job. Our job is to fear God, keep his commandments, and do the same for our children. And make sure that they understand the principles God has given us as well. And so I want us to just think about this week. Think about the rest of the day. What am I doing in my life to fear God and keep his commandments and also help my children or the people around me? Maybe you don't have children, but there are people around you that you can help understand what it means to remember now your Creator in the days of their youth. Don't wait until it's too late. You know, God wants us to remember him because he first remembered us. He gave us a way to be saved and be with him. And that way is through giving your life to him through the waters of baptism. That way is giving your sins, washing your sins away so that you can be made new again. You can walk in newness of life with Jesus Christ. If you need to do that today, if you need to start remembering God today and put his commandments in your life today, don't wait a moment longer. Remember now, in the days of your youth, so that we can enjoy heaven together with our Heavenly Father. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.